We'll be in Ephesians again today. We've been considering this theme called core as we look at some values as it pertains to our partnership with God and mission. This is sort of our vision. And so in a way to develop our vision, we're looking at core values. I want to read one verse from Ephesians this morning, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I just love the way that this verse is translated here, particularly a word that we'll spend some time with this morning. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We are God's masterpiece. I want you to take a moment to think about that. We live in a religious context, a Christian context, that is so quick to identify what's wrong with us, and that may be appropriate. You know, we tend to be scoundrels, and we tend to be hard-headed, and we do have sin in our lives, and we have hang-ups. But I think the language of Scripture and the writers of Scripture, one of their goals, I think, was to help the people of God take on a new understanding of who they are. And so here Paul writes, we are God's masterpiece. So before we dig into the lesson, I want you to think about that for a moment. Let's just spend a few seconds just in silent meditation on that. We are God's masterpiece. And if you feel so compelled, just maybe say a quick prayer to God that he looks at you as his masterpiece. And again, we'll develop what that means in just a bit. Let's just take a moment. Holy God in heaven, our creator, thank you for your artistic impression upon this planet, all that has been created. We give you worship and praise because you are our creator. Bless our time this morning as we share a time looking at our some of our core values. Bless us with your continued presence. May your Holy Spirit indwell this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we continue to explore our participation with God's mission to redeem, reconcile, renew the world. Since God has uniquely placed us, and I think it's important for us to reflect on that you know, we're not in Boston, we're not in Buffalo, we're not in Nashville, we're not in Florida. It'd be kind of cool to be in Florida, but we're not there, right? God has placed us for some reason. We gather here in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. I see that as a divine stamp. I don't believe in, you know, coincidence and chance. God, for some reason, saw fit that our lives would intersect here at Reynoldsburg. He didn't choose for us to intersect in another part of the world where we're intersecting here. There's something to that. So we believe that God has put us here in the Reynoldsburg area. And since he has placed us here, it is our desire to see what God sees in us as participants with him in mission. So again, let me remind you of Proverbs 29:18 from the Message translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And so we are calling our attention to what God reveals, and we're calling that our vision. We are doing this by exploring some core understandings and values. So far, We have looked at this idea of being committed to God and committed to each other. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is just like it. At the heart of who we are is a strong commitment to God and a strong commitment to one another. Accordingly, our gathering together for events like this, worship, becomes very important. I ask us all to think about this meeting place. If this is just a starting block, that we make the worship assembly a priority in our lives. Let's prepare on Saturdays to get ready to come together to meet with the saints and worship on Sundays, because it is a place where we show and demonstrate our commitment to God and our commitment to one another. And last week we looked at an additional value of being changed by God's love and his grace. And so, you know, Ephesians 2, 1 through 8 and 9, Paul is sharing with these people who used to live a certain way, who used to be in or have another status, but now because of God's love and his grace, we now are saved. We have been changed. And part of our story is that we used to be one way. God's grace came and intersected us at a point, and we have been changed by that. And then this morning, we want to continue this developing of our values, and I want us to look more closely at the inclusion of the people of God in the mission of God. God's creation is just simply breathtaking. Many of you have traveled the world, and you have been able to partake of all type of God's creation. And you know, I don't want us to think that we have to get on a plane and go to other parts of the world to behold God's creation. One of the blessings that I experience every day during the fall, there's a tree out back that, you know, when the summertime comes, you know, green, and when the fall starts, this tree has the most dramatic change. And every day when I come to the office, I see this change. And it's just a tree, but also in the back, you know, there's several deer that come out and run, and there's a family of deer. And there are times when I can just look out the window and just kind of this is God's creation. If you've ever, you know, driven down, you know, Route 33 going like towards Logan County, you know, in the fall, you know, that area is just so beautiful. I want to share with you some photos. I want to give credit. These are some photographs that Bill Johnson has taken over some time of just some picturesque displays of God's creation. These aren't man-made. You know, there was no one with a chisel or shovel going into this is what God has created, and it's breathtaking, isn't it? Isn't it just beautiful that God has created such a rich and colorful display of items in this world. But the most beautiful of God's creation, you're not going to find chiseled out in mountains or the hills of Logan County or in the Swiss Alps, or, you know, as picturesque and as beautiful and masterful as those things are. According to God, the most beautiful of his creations are human beings. It's people. Genesis 1:31, after he created man and woman, and he looked at creation, after creating other things in the creation story, he at the end of the day, he would say, it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. But after he created men and women, God saw, Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You know, when I was a kid, my mother, my father, bought a set of World Book encyclopedias. How many people know about World Book encyclopedias? Now, all the adults are raising your hands. Now, you young folks, let me explain to y'all. There were these books called encyclopedias, and if you wanted to get information, you went to the encyclopedia, not Wikipedia. There was no internet back then. You actually had to go to a book and look up a topic. Y'all know about that? Y'all know about doing book reports and going to the encyclopedia and getting your information? It's one of the reasons why I have a love for presidential history, is because we had the World Book encyclopedias, and I would go to the biographies of the presidents, and I would like memorize all the things. I memorized that, you know, Wilhelm Howard Taft, one of our presidents, was so big that he actually got stuck in the White House bathtub. Like, I memorized that. I got that from the World Book encyclopedia. But other than presidents, there was one of the volumes, and I think it was the H volume, Human Body, that I went back to over and over again, because in the article on the human body, there was in this article these plastic overlays of the human body. Y'all remember that? Now, I couldn't find an encyclopedia. I wanted to find an encyclopedia, but thanks to John Hess, the collector of relics and the keeper of relics, this is kind of what it looked like. When you open the encyclopedia, you'd have like this picture of the body, and you could, you know, kind of do that, and then it would add, you know, some of the body parts, and then some more of the body parts. And man, I would take this book out, and I would spend hours just going through, you know, going through some of the names. I had no clue what they were. I mean, some of them I could, you know, recognize, like a vein, you know, but sternohyoid muscle and all that stuff I didn't know. But hours, and I was just fascinated with this. This is God's creation here. And there's something about the way it all works together and all comes together, and the reason that I can move fingers and blink my eyes and when I'm talking, spit flies out. That's part of God's creation, and it is the most beautiful of his creations. And because human beings are so complex and so wonderfully made, and we can talk and we can use our hands and we can build things, it has resulted in this. Here's some more photos that build. You know, it has enabled us to build structures like this. Where is this at? Is this in Germany? And here's some more. Go ahead, go to the next one. And we've built things like this, and these picturesque communities. And here's the inside of a church, and some domes and skyscrapers and all these things, all because of God's masterful work in making human beings. People are the highlight of God's creation. And the Apostle Paul, I think, was digging deeper into this understanding that people are the highlight of God's creation. And he digs into this truth in the letter to the Ephesians. After describing the reality of grace to the church, and we looked at that last week, remember that grace that made them and us alive, and grace that activated them and us, and grace that awakened them and us, and grace that saved them and us. Paul explained this to thwart attempts by the church community to make salvation an event activated and controlled by the actions of individuals. Some would call those actions works. So then Paul wrote, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And having said that, however, Paul does mention that while your works, actions don't save you, good works are the result of one being saved or living out this grace reality. Good works is the response to grace. Well, pay attention to how Paul writes this. It's a powerful way to communicate a value that I hope will find its way into our church context and our core values that make up our vision. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. I asked you to meditate on that for a few seconds because there is a lot to unpack there. The word for masterpiece, or in some of your translations, you'll see handiwork, or in the King James, it's workmanship. Some other translations have, we are of God's making. These English renderings come from a Greek word, poema, and this is a Greek word that gives us our English word poem or poetry. There was a lot of thought and planning and design and drafting and building and shaping and molding and detail and crafting that went into the making of mankind. Humankind. And all of this was done with a lot of love and a lot of attention. God intending for this masterpiece, human beings, to be part of his global mission. Do you see that we were made, we are his masterpiece and created to do good things or good works that God has planned for us long, long time ago. There's a lot of thought and intention that went into the way that we were created. And God has taken this masterpiece and worked another masterpiece wherein we are not destined to do the things God originally created to do because sin crept in and messed up God's creation. And so God has worked another masterpiece with his masterpiece. Church, the core value we want to introduce this morning is a value of being commissioned. Called, commissioned. For those of you with military backgrounds, commission may be something you are very familiar with. The term commission carries with it ideals like charge and orders, assignment, duty, leading, direction. But while commission has become a term that is used in the military vernacular, commissioning is a term that has been a part of God's relationship with his people from the very beginning. Throughout the story of God, we see him commissioning and calling people to work alongside him for the greater good in his global mission. So we see God commissioning Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply and to be rulers of the earth. We see God commissioning Noah to build an ark to save his family so that he could repopulate the earth. We see Moses being commissioned to lead Israel out of Egypt. We see God commissioning Israel to be a nation that would embody God's plan to bless all of the nations. We see God commissioning Deborah and Gideon to lead Israel out of the hands of their oppressors. We see God commissioning David to maintain a covenant with God to display God's kingdom reign. We see God commissioning Mary to carry and to care for the Christ child. We see God commissioning Jesus to heal the sick and release prisoners and to preach the good news to the poor. We see God commissioning the apostles to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We see God commissioning Peter to spend time primarily with Jews. We see God commissioning Paul to spend time primarily with Gentiles. Commissioning is part of the story of God. It is a vernacular that is not reserved for military orders. It is language that is part of the story of God and God's church. We have been commissioned as God's masterpiece. Those of you familiar with the stories of these men and women in Scripture know that these men and women were not always the best men and women. They had flaws, they had hang-ups, they had sins, they were fearful, they were reluctant, and sometimes they were outright defiant to partnering with God. But God took their lives that were sometimes a mess and made a masterpiece out of their lives. Their stories have been preserved preserve for us, to give us encouragement and motivation. Moses wasn't always the leader of Israel, and David wasn't always the leader who embodied the covenant of God, and some of Paul wasn't always an apostle to the Gentiles and the writer of such great words like "we have been saved by the grace of God." He was killing these same people that he was now pastoring to. God took these lives that were messes and he made masterpieces out of them. And that's what he is doing with us in 2017. He has taken a bunch of messes and he is making masterpieces. And when you put all these messes together and he makes a big masterpiece out of all of this, this is the church of Christ. This is the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ that God is making into a masterpiece to partner with him in global mission. We have been commissioned to do good things, and God has some plans for us. As we seek to enjoin our church's story with God's mission, we see our lives as God's masterpieces made from the scraps of our dysfunction and our messes. And being God's masterpiece, he has commissioned us to do good works in the name of Jesus. We, like ancient Israel, are to declare that the kingdom of God is here. And the loudest and most prevalent way to make this declaration in 2017 is to love and to serve others. God has called us to serve our neighbor, serve our community, serve our country, serve our world. Church, I want us to see how this is coming together. We live out of a context of commitment to God and one another. We live as ones who have been changed by God's grace into a new creation, his masterpiece. And we live as ones who have been commissioned by God to live and to serve the world. This is why we sign up to cook meals for members when they have had hospital stays. This is why we spend time in communal prayer for the sick and the hurting. This is why we help the poor and the hungry. This is why we go into the inner city and paint houses. This is why we help victims of sex trafficking. This is why we partner with Slate Ridge to serve teachers and students. This is why we serve dinner once a month and give out groceries. This is why we are going to start serving breakfast on Sunday mornings. This is why we take up special collections to help victims who lost everything in fires. This is why we take trips to Guyana and Honduras. This is why when we see people stranded on the side of the road, we stop and help. And this is why we are going to retire the word volunteer. We are employing intentional language that communicates our commissioning by God. As best as we can, when we make announcements about needing help for a ministry or help in an area or at an event, we're going to stop using volunteer. We're going to use Bible language. We're going to use language that should be a part of us as the people of God. We don't just need volunteers. We desire servants. Jesus, when he was talking about himself and talking about his life, he didn't say, I did not come to be volunteered to, but to volunteer and to give my life a ransom for many. No, that's not what Jesus said. What Jesus said is that, for even the Son of Man, speaking of himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so as we see fit, when we are calling for people to partner with ministries in this church, we're going to use the word servants. We need servants. We have an opportunity to enjoin our lives with God and serve. So this new breakfast ministry, we need servants. The community of care dinner that's taking place this Saturday, we need servants. Our children's education, we are looking for teachers and shepherds to participate in and teaching our kids about the Bible and about Jesus and about God so that they will grow into great disciples of Jesus Christ. Our children's education, we need servants. The worship ministry, we have singers up here that sing and people that put things together that's on the screen and people that do all types of things that takes place in the worship ministry. We need servants. The Guyana and Honduras missions, they need people to travel, they need people to collect money, they need people to do fundraisers. We need servants. The prayer ministry, we need people who have a heart to pray to God and to speak to God on behalf of the people and to lead us in a more prayerful walk of life. We need servants. This stage, this week, these trees are going to be taken down and it's going to be a bare stage, and we want to put something up here that looks good, that helps this place and continues to make it look beautiful. We need servants. VBS is 6 months away. We've already received contact from the church across the street who wants to partner again and teach Jesus to kids. We need servants. Caring for the last and the lost and the least, the lonely and the left out. We need servants. Seeking the peace and prosperity of this city. We need servants. Declaring that the kingdom of God is here. We need servants, not just volunteers. We need servants, people who are God's masterpiece, created to do good things that God has planned for us. We need servants. If we must use the word volunteer, let's say, could you volunteer to be a servant? Know this, we are God's masterpiece, created out of messes and commissioned to make masterpieces out of the messes in our world. Heard of a few? There are a few messes in this world. But the powerful story of God is that he has taken messes, the messes that were in our lives, the messes that still remain in our lives, and he's made masterpieces out of that so that we can address the messes in our world. He has created us to bring beauty to this world. And as long as God's beauty lingers, this place is all right. It's so easy for us to look at the status of the world, the state of the world, state of our country, state of our communities, and sometimes the state of our household and think that all is lost. It's just a complete mess. You know, and I just beg to differ. I just think that as long as there are God's people on this earth, this place is all right. And it's gonna be all right. As long as God's handiwork and craftsmanship continues to be splattered all over this planet in the form of natural blessings, mountains, rivers, oceans, and the people of God, we're gonna be okay. Let's watch this video.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. We seek to make our mark. Let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
We have been commissioned, committed to God, committed to one another, change by God and commission. And the cries of the people of God tend to be harmonious because we look at our world and we see the challenges that faces our world, face our community, again, even challenges that we see in our schools or even in our homes or at our work places of employment, and we look at ourselves and I'm insignificant. Dion, all the things that needs to be done in this community. I mean, we're just a small church. What can we do? We are a small church. But church, we serve a big God. Well, Dion, we have limited resources, man. Our bank account isn't as big as some of these other places. True, it's true. But we worship a God who has limitless resources. Look, I know that church influence is declining all over the place, and report after report is talking about how less and less people are going to church. I get that. But still, we are the people of God. And Jesus says, I am building a church that will go through some challenges, will go through some changes, some readdress, perhaps even some revisions, but it will never die. He says the gates of Hades, that's death, will never prevail against the church. So no matter how small we are or how broke we are, as long as we are alive, we will have upon us, planted on our spirits, a commission by God to partner with him to do good works. We've been commissioned, we've been called. That's why it's important that we understand how God has gifted each and every one of us. And if you don't know what that is, or you're having some difficulty in understanding, like how has God gifted me? Let's talk about that. Let's discover that together. Let's discover that in community. So I want you to be mindful. I want you to start planting these words in your mind as it pertains to the Reynoldsburg body. Again, the way we see ourselves partnering with God is going to be different from another church, from another town or another organization. This is Reynoldsburg. We see as core to our vision, commitment to God and one another, being changed by God and being commissioned by God. I close by praying this prayer made famous, if you will, by Francis of Assisi, who didn't write a lot. Others wrote some things that he said, so these are words attributed to him. One of the things that he is attributed to have said is, preach the gospel always. Use words if necessary. Use words if necessary. Before we get our minds together about what we're going to say, what we're going to say, what we're going to say, serve. That's what Assisi would say, serve. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve our fellow men throughout the world who live and die in poverty and hunger. Give them through our hands this day their daily bread, and by our understanding, love, give peace and joy. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by forgetting self that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. The invitation today is one of recognizing or committing to God and one another, recognizing that you've been changed, and following the commissioning of God to join him and partner with him in mission. And it's been a blessing that the Reynoldsburg body has provided so many ways, so many venues, so many areas in which you can join God in mission. So today you heard me list various ministries that not all of them, but some of them. But there may be a way for you to partner with God in ministry by teaching some kids in class. It may be a way for you to partner with God in ministry by participating in the worship ministry, or participating in the community of care, or participating in the breakfast ministry, or participating in giving care to those who are homebound or sick, or participating in decorating, or participating in buildings and grounds, or participating with the youth group, or participating in the prayer ministry. The invitation today is for you to consider where you are serving, and if you're not currently serving, to find a place to partner with people in his church and partner with God in mission. Or if you're already serving in another place, consider serving somewhere else. I'm not asking you to burn yourself out, but I'm asking you, the invitation is for you to follow this commission by God to be his masterpiece and to bring a masterful crafting to the messes in our world and in our community. Is that all right? As we sing this song, I want you to prayerfully consider that. The invitation is not limited to that. If there's something that you want to share with the body this morning, we want to give you room to share that. But right now, think about where you're serving or where you're not serving, and commit as you leave this place to find a place in partnership with the Reynoldsburg Church. And as a response to the grace that God has showed in your life, respond by doing the good that God has planned for you a long, long, long time ago. Let's stand, let's sing.